when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, welcome back to episode 2 of Internet Marketing with Academy Internet, and we have with us Daniel Rowles.
Hi there.
Head of Internet Marketing. And we have with us, instead of Jeremy, who's actually away on holiday, we have Mr. Graham Benstead.
Hello there, Andy.
Hello there. And Graham is international. Is that international marketing consultant?
It's an internet marketing.
It's internet, isn't it? Internet.
Yes. You internet marketing.
You're an international internet marketing consultant. No, you're an internet marketing consultant.
International sounds far more glamorous.
It does. I think we won't edit this out at all. We'll call him an international internet marketing consultant. So welcome to the show, guys. Thanks again. Before we go any further, can I just apologise for the noise? This is to all the listeners out there. We are in wonderful Brighton. Brighton is a busy city with lots of cafes and lots of very happy people. And the weather we've been having here in the UK for the last 2-3 weeks has just been absolutely sweltering.
Absolutely. Hottest day on recorded history yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. But I think we had the hottest. It was 32, 33 degrees, something like that.
More than that, I think.
35? Yeah. It was just sweltering here. And as you can imagine, everyone and his dog are out just enjoying cafe land, which is Brighton. So that would explain the noise. I actually quite like the noise in the background. In last time, episode 1, we talked about it was like an introduction to internet marketing. Daniel, could you just remind us what we talked about?
We just kind of covered the reasons why you'd use online marketing and the pros and the cons, and yeah, some little tips in there, and just what the background is and what you should be thinking about when you're kind of approaching online marketing. So just an introduction, general thing, and then we're going to go into the more specifics episode by episode now, this being the first.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and let's get straight into the main segment of this podcast, which today is search engine optimization. So perhaps you could just tell us how that works.
Absolutely. Well, search engine optimization is all about getting your website to the highest positions possible in the major search engines. And the reason you want to do this at the end of the day is that 80% of online transactions start with a search on a search engine. So 80% of things that are bought over the internet, they start somewhere. Someone goes into Google, for example, will do a search. So if that's 80% of the traffic, you need to be on that first page of the search engine. People don't really go past the first 3 pages of the search engine. Your research has really shown that's the case. So if you're not on those first 3 pages, you pretty much might as well forget it. That kind of sums up what it is. The key thing we need to remember here is there's 2 major first steps. First of all, there's lots of ways of approaching this. Now, you can go the natural kind of way. If you want a website that's going to rank well for a particular search term, then you need to be, you know, very, very focused on that search term. If you want to be number one, for example, event management, you need to be the number one event management kind of website on the internet, which, you know, is a lot harder than it sounds. You need to be very focused and have good content.
Yeah.
The problem is lots of companies in the past would guarantee number one positions. And there's no actual way of doing that without building a website, building good content, building inbound links. There are lots of cheating ways to do it, and Google gets smarter and smarter and smarter, and you'll get sussed out. And the classic example is recently Germany, in BMW, actually delisted from Google completely.
Right.
So, you know, do it the wrong way, don't do it in an ethical fashion, then it can go very wrong indeed. So right. You know, go with the companies that have an ethical kind of approach to the whole thing. And it can be achieved, but it won't happen overnight. It won't happen overnight at all.
So this whole concept of doing sort of tricks to make you go higher up the search engines, is that a bad thing?
Absolutely. I mean, it's about presenting your website in such a way that the search engines can find you and can read your website well.
Right.
And you're not trying to trick them at all. What you're trying to do is make the website clear to the search engines.
Right.
So avoiding things like building your website completely in Flash, because that will make it very hard for the search engines to read it.
You know, yes.
Some search engines can read some Flash, but not an awful lot of it.
Yes.
So it's just about taking a sensible approach. And the last thing you want to do is con the search engines, because as they get smarter, you're just going to get chucked out completely.
Sure,
yeah. It's a disaster.
And I've heard another thing. Is this true, this thing about putting text and images? That's a bad idea because the search engines obviously can't find the text and images.
Absolutely, because if the search engine look at your website, and they won't see how you'd see it, they'll basically see the code in the background.
Right.
And fundamentally, if you put an image on there, they can't see the image. All they can see is the alt text. And we'll talk about that in a moment. That's the kind of alternative text that's used generally for screen readers, for people with disabilities that use a screen reader.
Yes.
But the search engines can actually read that part of it.
Yes, that's that little alternative attribute, isn't it? Of the image tag.
That's the one.
Yeah, so, I'm familiar with that one.
Yeah, so I mean, at the end of the day, it's about making your website good for the user. And at the end of the day, all the major search engines want your website to rank well if it's good for the user.
Yeah.
So that's the long-term kind of approach you need to take.
Absolutely. I was speaking to somebody just the other day who was telling me that he thought SEO was about beating the search engines at their own game, which I think is completely missing the point. There's no point even in being number one in Google if people can't read your site, if it's not useful. The point is that you have the best site for the user.
Yeah.
And that's what Google wants to give their users.
That's
the whole point of search engine optimization.
But how do the search engines deduce what's the best site? I mean, I'm going back to tricks again here, aren't
sure.
I? Are there rules, are there things that you can do? I mean, I've heard that having lots of inbound links is a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Graham will come into a moment, but the inbound links basically are seen as a... as from the search engine's point of view, is a vote for your site, because anyone linking to your website, it basically means that there's a reason to link to you.
Yes.
Now there's things called link farms which had thousands and thousands of links, but it's just a con, because the search engines can now look and say all this website is thousands of links.
Right.
So it's a waste of time, and they're sussing out more and more and more, and they've got obviously the computerised technology that goes through and looks and can deduct certain things, but there are human editors as well.
Right.
That will really look into things and realise that this is a con, so delist the whole thing.
Do we still have web rings? Do you remember web rings? Are they still around?
Yeah, I mean, they are. And the quality ones do work. Because it's basically just a group of websites that are have a similar focus or interest that link to each other. Mm-hmm. If they're all good sites and they're all focused, then there's no reason you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
The problem is linking to low-quality sites. And
sure.
It's just look at who you're actually linking to. But there's certainly no harm in doing it.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about keywords, because I know that was one thing you wanted to mention.
Yeah, absolutely. Picking your keywords is probably one of the most important steps, if not the most important step. Mm-hmm. Your keywords are basically what people are searching on when you want them to find your website. Now, your automatic assumption is if your company is called something, you're going to put your company name in. The problem is the people that are putting your company name in already know of you, so it's quite likely they are going to come across you one way or the other. It's keywords like... your key services for finding new customers that aren't even aware of you at the moment. So you need to think about what people are actually going to search on, mm-hmm. and think how competitive that is. Now, if you're in a market where there are millions and millions of companies that do that similar thing, it's going to be quite hard to get to number one if you're a small company.
Yeah.
So you need to think about the more niche terms, the more specifics. So there might be a niche service that you offer or a more particular phrase that you might want to use, and you're much more likely to get to number one positions if you use that kind of niche phrase.
Right.
The other thing to say on keywords, for example, is that if someone's looking for a Sony DVD player and they put in DVD player, a lot of people are going to come up for DVD player. If they put in Sony DVD player XC900, they know very much what they're looking for.
Yeah.
And the thing with that is that the more they know what they're looking for, the more likely they are to actually purchase. They're much nearer a point of conversion, so they're more likely to purchase. So the more focused and niche you can be for key terms, the more likely you are to get sales or contact or whatever the kind of conversion is that you're looking for.
Right.
So you just really need to consider your kind of keywords very, very carefully.
I actually read a statistic just the other day that the majority of users of Google are using at least four words in their searches.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been suggested that keywords are no longer called keywords, but key phrases.
Well, I was going to ask, actually, are these words or phrases? So they are actually phrases.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you just think about how you search at the end of the day, you'd normally search for a few words at least.
Yes.
So, if you're searching those phrases, the difficult thing is trying to think outside of how you search, and there are a couple of tools that can help you with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's one that's particularly good called nichebot.com. And basically that takes a lot of information for lots of different websites. You put a key term in, a keyword in, and it will come back with lots of different suggestions, like variations, and that thing will tell you how many people are searching on it. So it's a really good place to start. And it takes the information from another commercial site called wordtracker.com.
Right.
That's another really good one to look for. And there's free information there, and there's a subscription service as well. So okay. I'd definitely check those two out when you're looking at your keywords.
So those are tools that will help you to decide perhaps what your keyword should be.
Absolutely.
By seeing what people are searching for.
Absolutely. And when you're selecting your key terms, we generally say don't really go for more than about 15 terms for a site.
Right.
Really try and focus in.
Yeah.
Once you've mastered those 15, then by all means start to expand out. But really, you know, focus in your efforts. Don't dilute things down and just go for like top 10, top 15 keywords.
True. And where do these keywords go? Do they go in the meta tags or in the text or both? Or
Well, we'll be coming to that when we're looking at optimising the actual site.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's important also when you're choosing your keywords not to see it as a site-wide necessarily process. You're going to have your generic keywords for the entirety of your site, but you're also going to have your specific areas, which will have their specific keywords in there. As I say, I mean, the keywords which you'll be using will be, as you say, going into metadata, which I'll be speaking about later on, but also the rest of your site. So because you don't want to be using some very specific keywords in, for instance, your homepage, because that's not the most important part of your site.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be producing groups of keywords to be put into specific sections.
Absolutely. And I think, where these keywords go, to put it into perspective, where the keywords actually go, it becomes a lot easier. I mean, you're talking about the titles on the pages, the actual copy on the pages, the headings, and that kind of thing. And I think Graham's going to kind of go through us now and just kind of talk through each of those different areas.
Yeah. As I say, I mean, you're going to be, for every page that you have, you want to include your keywords in a sensible way, so that first of all users can read them. As I mentioned before, there's no point in writing a website for the search engines, because you're not going to get your conversions. People aren't going to be buying from your site if the copy that they're reading doesn't make any sense to them. It completely undermines any credibility of your site. So I think that's the first thing to be aware of. I mean, there are lots of different aspects of your site which you need to pay attention to when including the keywords. First of all, I suppose the most important part of your page is definitely the title. So anybody who codes in HTML will know this inside the title tags in the head.
Yeah, because of course the title is it gets put up right at the top of the browser in the blue stripe at the top, not in the body of the thing.
Yeah, completely.
That's the important.
It does confuse some people. You see the title and they assume it's the actual word.
It confuses
on the page.
Me, and I'm a programmer.
It's just looking at the top left of your browser, and that's where it is.
Yeah, it can be missed, but that's really, really important. You should make absolutely sure that title for every single page has their own specific keywords. So it should, the titles for each page should reflect the primary keywords associated with that page.
Yeah.
That's really important. For instance, if you're on your homepage, if you, for instance, work in the events management industry, you should have your event management keyword there.
Yeah.
Right at the front, right in the title. That'll do you a lot of good. And then, with more specific pages, for instance, perhaps if you're selling merchandise, you could think about adding it to the merchandise.
Well, because, of course, with a lot of sites, presumably this would all be automated, wouldn't it? I mean, a lot of selling sites. So, for example, if I was searching for the XYZ123 microphone...
Completely.
As if by magic, that would appear in the title.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of sites are content managed, so you'll insert your products into the site, or whoever's looking after the site for will do it. And it's just making sure that when they're putting all this information in, the title's done correctly.
Yes.
Content management systems can strongly affect search engine optimization. And it should be something that you're considering if you're looking at buying a content management system or an e-commerce solution or anything,
or indeed
like that.
Building one.
Oh, completely, absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, all of this stuff will depend very much if you do the website yourself, if someone does it for you, if a third party does it. So it can be, you should be aware of this yourself if you're doing it yourself, but also if you're talking to an agency, you should be aware of all these kind of things so you can make sure they're doing the right things for you.
Now, what about headings?
Headings are very, very important. Again, they're the first port of call on your main on the main body of your page, the main content. I mean, first of all, they make headings do make it a lot easier to read your page. I think it's important to point that out.
Yes.
So if you can add those in important sections, like throughout your copy, in front of like to section off paragraphs, you can first of all, you've got a more usable site, which, as I say, it's a very important thing. But the information that they contain in terms of keywords is very important as well. So again, if you at the top of your page, perhaps if you're selling a particular product, make sure you put that product name. Don't waste your time putting things like welcome to my site. That's just not going to do anything for you. You should get a little bit more important, like your important keywords in there.
Yeah.
Again, structure is very important there as well. With your, make sure you put heading twos inside heading ones, in terms of the structure. Google likes a well-structured site.
Oh, right. So that does influence the way the search engines
find
your pages.
Should at least interpret your pages. Should just say again, for those people that aren't really kind of HTML pros or anything like that, and a heading one and a heading two tag are basically just parts of the code that makes up the page. Mm-hmm. And it goes to H1, H2, H3, and it basically just says what the priority is, H1 being the most important.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit of, there are different levels of headings and how you build them up.
I hope I'm not being too techno babble.
Oh no, don't worry. We'll try and filter it to the public. Yeah, if you get too technical. I'm guilty of that myself, being a bit of a geek. So what about alternative text and images, things like that?
Alternative text, as you were saying earlier. I mean, first of all, for me, the most important part of that is accessibility and usability.
Yeah.
An image without its alternative text isn't visible. Yeah. To anybody who doesn't have access to the images, for instance, of course, visually impaired or other sorts of disabilities which don't allow that to happen. And of course, just people with older browsers or slower systems, some people do turn off their images because they take so long to load. And if you're trying to impart any information using that image, you haven't, it's completely not going to work. But of course, search engines can't see the images either. It doesn't mean anything to them. And it's just a shame if you've got a few keywords in there, if you don't give that to the search engines. Yeah.
Especially if the images contain things which are very relevant to the site. I suppose the alternative text is quite important.
Yeah, the other thing, just to say while we're talking about accessibility, is that if you don't put the alt tags in, you're actually breaking the accessibility guidelines.
Right.
And the Disability Discrimination Act is something really important to think about, and technically you could be kind of sued if you haven't done that. So
absolutely,
it is a consideration.
Yeah, it's worth remembering. We touched on this last week. Sticking to the guidelines, basically.
Yeah, completely.
Because, legislation has changed, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. I mean, we will do another, I think, a full episode on accessibility, because it is an important issue. And, you have to follow the law. It's good for the people. You've got a huge audience out there that may not have access to your site. But also, things you do for accessibility will also help with the usability of the site and for the search engine. So it's a positive thing to look at.
Before we talk about usability in any depth, I think the most important thing I've noticed, a lot of people do tend.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
to use their menus, create menus with images,
yeah,
without any alternative text.
Right.
And of course, people can't navigate around your site. It makes your site unusable to anybody who can't use those images. So, yeah, that's one to really look up.
What about JavaScript written menus? Okay, I don't want to get too technical here, but JavaScript is like a, it's a bit like a programming language that runs in the browser and lets you do fancy things. Are they visible to search engines?
Partially. Right. I mean, if you can avoid it and still get the effect that you're looking for, then that's fine. I think that's the best way of going for it.
Yeah.
Quite often it's that you do need some JavaScript, but if there's an alternative to that, that's great.
Right.
So then it's going to depend how you write your JavaScript as well. You need to write your JavaScript very carefully to do that. You know, if you've got a huge page full of reams and reams of JavaScript before it gets to anything, any copy, then the search engine say, well, there's no important copy at the top of this page. So it's going to be relevant how much code is on that page as well.
So it just goes down, and if it doesn't get to any sensible HTML, it goes,
just to the point is that the search engine, the higher something is on the page, the more relevance it's given.
So if your
keyword doesn't appear to about, you know, 400 or 500 lines down,
yes,
it's going to see very little relevance, and it's going to say, well, I'm not going to give you such a good ranking.
So it
can ruin your rankings if you're not careful.
Yeah.
So something to bear in mind.
And the role of meta tags in all this, in optimization?
Meta tags used to be very, very important in optimization.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a time when they were the only aspect of how the search engine saw your site.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, led to a whole lot of people putting the same keyword in, like, hundreds of times. And the person with the most amount of keywords got a
really
point. Yeah, and the, of course, I mean, people were abusing it to such a degree. I mean, I think it was around the time that Britney Spears was extremely popular, and you could type in Britney Spears and you'd have a whole range of sites which were just interested in getting you to their site. There was
nothing to do with Britney Spears.
nothing to do with Britney whatsoever. No.
But companies that make spanners and things like that.
Spanners and more. Who knows? It could be anything.
But that isn't the case anymore. Are they not regarded by the search engines as so
not
relevant?
Really? I mean, it's argued that they're not even noticed by them. I think the most important thing with them is just be sensible with them. I think it can be worthwhile making sure you've got the meta keywords in there. In general, you should be careful to make sure that any keywords that you have in your meta keyword list are also in your copy. Or in your in the headings,
that
can help your relevancy, I'm sure. But
I think that basically just says to the search engines that the meta does reflect what's in the website itself. The other thing to remember as well is that the meta description is actually used by quite a few search engines as the description that comes up on the page.
Uh-huh.
So not always, but sometimes Google will, that description is what it will bring up to describe your website.
Yeah.
Depending on the myriad of rules that Google likes to use to decide how it ranks things. So you know that keyword description is very important. Just to get it right, and it just appear in a lot of different places, so make sure it describes what your site does pretty concisely and includes those keywords in there.
It can also be, I mean, both those metadata, meta keywords and descriptions, more the keywords, it can keep you when you're actually editing your site to optimise, because you should really keep your copy up to date, refresh it all the time, because Google likes new content.
Yeah.
It can also remind you of what the specific keywords for that page are, which can be very, very useful.
Yeah, it's quite a housekeeping feature as well, just to have some reference on the page to what those keywords for that page were.
Right.
So it can be useful for yourself as well.
Okay, so that's optimization.
Mm.
Now, what about inbound links? We touched on this earlier, but what sort of effect do inbound links have on...
Inbound links are arguably by far the most important part of search engine optimization. As far as I'm concerned, you would be putting the keywords into your text to let Google know what your page is about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really the inbound links that tell Google how important your page is for those links. Of course, you don't have to have those keywords to have a high rank with them. I think, I don't know if you've heard of Google bombing?
I don't think I have, no.
Okay, Google bombing's very interesting. It's when a group of people decide to have a particular keyword when it's searched for come up for normally an unrelated site. By directing a lot of inbound links to it with particular copy, the search words that they're interested in.
I mean, it's a trick, basically. It's like what we were talking about before, people conning the search engines.
Yeah.
But there are things, and you could put in, I can't remember the particular words, but it was something like idiot, and John Prescott's site came up number one, and things like that. And it's basically from lots of people having blogs, they'll all put a link with the word idiot in it, and it all link through to John Prescott's website. So basically what happened was that if thousands and thousands and thousands of people do this, well, Google will go, look at that, loads of people are linking on this keyword to this particular website, it must be completely relevant.
Okay.
And it sat there for a while. It did sit there for a while, and there's still quite a few in existence as well, so people use it for...
So Google looks at the word that's being linked out,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
Remembers it and deems it
and sees it as relevant. Yeah, right. Completely.
And not just the word, I mean the whole of the page, which is linking to the destination page, as it were, is taken into account. The relevancy of that page, and to the search phrase. So you could do that for anything. Which is a great example of how relevant or how potent inbound links can be.
I'm not sure if we should be telling the public about it.
No,
we can have lots of fun now, aren't we?
I mean, I think the important thing is as I said before, just see an inbound link as a vote, and the better the quality of the site that's linking to, the more relevant the search engines will see it as that.
Okay.
There's this thing called PageRank, which is part of Google's algorithm. And each website, if you've got the Google toolbar installed, so if you go to Google, type in Google toolbar, you can install this piece of software.
Yes.
If you install it, every site you go to, it'll tell you the page rank.
Right.
And the page rank is literally what Google thinks of the quality of that website and the amount of inbound links to that website. So if you get a link for a website that, say, is a page rank of 4, that's much better than getting a link from a website that's got a page rank of 1.
Right.
So it's not a complete measure, but it's part of the Google algorithm and all the rest.
Could you use that to work out how popular your website would be?
Yeah. Well,
simply by going to your own website with a toolbar and looking at the rank.
It'll tell you how many people are linking to you and the quality of people that are linking to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the BBC, it's got a page rank of 9 or 10. Google itself will call itself 9.
Yeah.
One thing to be aware of is it gets exponentially harder.
Right.
As you go up the scale. So to get 1, 2, 3, it's easy. Getting a 4 gets harder, and then
five
gets
really
very difficult.
Yeah.
So it's one of the few metrics you can use very easily just to know how Google's thinking about your website.
Right.
But it's only a very small part of it.
Isn't there a special string you can put in the Google browser that tells you how many links are pointing to a site?
Absolutely. If you put in link...
The word link, yeah.
Colon.
Two dots, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And then put in your web address.
Right.
It will tell you who's linking to your site.
Ah.
But it doesn't give complete results. It will say what Google thinks is relevant.
Right.
But it doesn't give you a complete list of who's linking to you.
There was quite a scare recently. Through a lot of search engine optimization companies. Because whereas a company which they would have been producing inbound links for would have before had perhaps hundreds, maybe thousands of links.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they had very, very few. Because Google recently changed their algorithm. I think it was Big Daddy.
Yeah, it was called Big Daddy, which is always worrying. When they call something Big Daddy, that's going to be quite a serious kind of effect.
He was a wrestler, wasn't he?
He was.
He was. And what a guy.
Absolutely.
But of course, I didn't know him personally.
They made it much, much harder they made it much more important that an inbound link was from a very, very relevant source. So, for instance, a lot of people may have had, especially for link farms, none of those links would be relevant anymore, and Google just wouldn't really count it. It made a big difference, and it shook things up a lot.
I think it's a good thing for the industry because it stops the people that are trying to cheat the whole thing.
Yeah.
It cuts them out, really. And the smarter Google get, basically it means the better people's websites have got to be. It's no bad thing for anybody, really.
Absolutely. So basically, as long as you stick to these basic ethical rules, you should do well, generally.
It does take time. I mean, it will take time for Google to consider how long your site's been existing, what kind of amount of content's on there, all these kind of different factors.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, build a website that's relevant, focused, and has lots of good quality content.
Yeah.
Take in mind these kind of small technical points in terms of how you build your site.
Yeah.
And that's, that's the key things you should be doing. And in the long term, that's how you achieve the results.
So, Graham, tell me about the sources of inbound links.
Absolutely. There are many different ways that we do it. Three main ways. We use free web directories. There are hundreds of free web directories which you can submit your site to. Yeah, every one that you use, although it's not very relevant, it's not going to make huge differences on their own, like one by one. But you can get such a volume so easily that you'll see your ranks rise, in the search engine.
Yeah, and I should say with these free directories, well, they're focused on different subjects. You just need to pick the ones that are relevant to you. And it's a free way of getting additional links, and it's relevant so people find them. That's the key thing.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our own actually called pickle.com,
and that's pickal.com.
That's beautiful. Yeah, so please feel free to you know, submit your site to there. Second way, probably for me the most important, is using useful content or articles and submitting them to a number of different forums, for instance, discussion forums for the specific area that your site works on. Not only are you going to be getting some really decent traffic from that because you'll have the interest group there, you also get the inbound link from any link that you put onto forums, so that's a nice way to improve on that.
Yeah, the other thing to that is it's really it shows the power of the community things they have on the website now, and it's becoming more and more of an issue, like things like MySpace and, you know, discussion forums, and it's hugely powerful. If you can utilise those way and help the community, you'll get more inbound links.
Is this a bit like blogging as well? So say for example I go to your blog and I put a comment. Now of course when I put my comment in, I think most blogs allow you to put your URL in, don't they? Which of course you're making an inbound link, which of course is what spammers do as well.
Completely.
Try and avoid them.
Yeah. And if you do it in a relevant, focused way, there's no harm in it at all, and it's
absolutely
good for your site.
Yes, it makes sense now.
Yeah.
So you're literally building a web of links.
Yeah, that's exactly what you do.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the same with those articles. There are article directories out there. My favourite one is ArticleZilla.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah,
it sounds like you could take any word really and put Zilla at the end.
Apparently you can.
Underpants Zilla.
Exactly.
The next big .com.
Get the domain name.
All right. You can give them your articles for a lot of different web users to search through, and they can actually take your article and put it on their own site. Now, this sounds a little bit counterproductive, but of course, every single time that somebody takes it and puts it on their site, they have to link back to your site. So in that way, if you've got a really useful article, which lots of people go use, you're going to have a lot of very, very relevant links, because people using your article are going to be relevant to that article.
Okay.
You know, that's a really, really good way.
So this was what, ArticleZilla, was it?
ArticleZilla is my favourite. I mean, I think if you search for an article directory or a free article submission directory, you should find a whole load of them.
Okay, well, some useful tips there.
Yeah. And then finally, another very interesting one is RSS feeds.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I like RSS feeds. They're cool.
They sure are. There's some very, very interesting stuff out there now.
Mm.
As you say, blogs are a perfect example of them.
Yeah.
If you have your articles, or at least perhaps more, I think blogs are probably a better example.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to submit those to
the RSS aggregators.
The aggregators.
It sounds very much like a Doctor Who enemy, but they're very, very useful.
My favourite one is Syndic 8. Which is
the figure eight.
Yeah, so SYNDIC 8.
Then the number, the numeral 8 on the end.
Yeah, again, rather Doctor Who.
Ah, yes, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah,
and there's a bunch of feed readers you can get for your desktop as well. I use Feed Reader, which I rather like. It's very nice. Although no one else seems to know about it. Perhaps I'm the first person ever to discover it.
I do now.
It's a Feed Reader. If you just Google Feed Reader, you'll find it. It's rather nice.
Cool, and then finally, links within your own website. Very, very cheap and free to do, really. You can just add wherever you have the chance to link to another section of your site in your copy. Yeah, do it. I mean, you know, sensibly, of course, but it's gonna do you some good.
Okay, what about tracking the results?
Absolutely. I mean, it's all very well doing these things, but if you don't know what results you've actually achieved after this game, it seems to be better, then it's very hard. I mean, obviously you can look at your own weblogs and you can see how much traffic has come to your site and where it's coming from. It's a standard thing with any weblogs or web statistics package.
Yeah.
The best thing to do is use a piece of software that will tell you, you basically put in all the key terms, you put your web address in, and then you select the search engines you're interested in, and it'll tell you what position that keyword is sitting in that search engine. So it just gives you a matrix, basically, that says this is a keyword, this is the position it's sitting in this search engine. And there's a couple of good tools for doing that. There's one called Web Position Gold, which has a lot of tools in it that helps you with kind of search engine optimization.
Yeah.
And you can find that at webposition.com. That's a very good bit of kit. And there's also a tool called Advanced Web Ranking. Don't say that too quickly. And that, again, gives you a very, very concise view of where you're sitting in the search engines. And it's visual and it's nice and easy to see what you're doing. And basically, as you track it, as time goes on, it will say you've got like this many places, down this many places, right. This is how many top 10 positions you've got. So it just gives you a show of what your efforts have been. And you can also say, oh, we did this month, and this was the effect. So, you know, we need to do more of this or less of that. And it just gives you something to base your kind of concepts on.
That's great. Are these free tools?
No, they're both paid for tools. Mm-hmm. But they're, I think Advanced Web Broking is about £100, and Web Position Gold starts at about £160. So they're quite affordable, and they do pay dividends, I think, if you invest
in that
money.
I'm sure they do, yeah.
Absolutely. So
if you're serious about tracking your results,
yeah, completely.
Take a look at these two tools.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, that search engine optimization in a kind of summed up way, there's a lot more about it, lots of talk, there's always changes going on.
Okay.
As they change their algorithms, thing, you know, search engines will change. So, but following the basic guidelines are the most important things. There's lots of detail around it, but these are really the key concepts you need to think about. So I think that's it.
A succinct, is that the right word?
Absolutely.
Overview of search engine optimization. So if you want to give us some feedback, drop an email to
info@academyinternet.com, and that's Academy Internet as all as one word.
Okay. If anyone wants to phone us, what's the number for internationally?
It's +44
and
then 01273 733 433.
Do we need the zero? Is it +44 1273?
Yeah, 1273. I think that the zero is if you're in the UK. Obviously.
Ah, okay. Right, so if you're not in the UK, remove that to zero.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in contacting us, just to ask us very specific questions as well, we do have a forum on the Pickle URL as well. So that would be the same as Pickle, pickal.com/forums.
Excellent.
And if you leave your question there, we'll answer it for you.
Fantastic. Well, there we go. Guys, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks very much
for joining us on Internet Marketing. Mm. And what are we going to talk about next week?
I think we're probably going to be talking about accessibility and usability next time.
Okay. Well, so look forward to that very much.
Absolutely.
And thank you very much again, guys. And we will see you next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.